The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The report says that Baylor was inadequate in its response to Title IX as far as reporting these incidents. Also that Baylor administrators discouraged complainants from reporting incidents, and in one instance retaliated against an individual. It also indicates that multiple football players were alleged for a sexual assault, and that the football staff and administration did not take appropriate measures. And that basically it summed it up best. It said there was no culture for accountability among the football program concerning off-the-field issues.
So I'm guessing Baylor's going to be a little bit of a topic today. What happens next? We shall discuss. It's a Thursday on The Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday, weekend's almost here. But a little bit of breaking news that happened earlier today. And I have well, it's not really breaking anymore. It just happened earlier today.
Right.
And I kind of feel like I've already been at work for 4 hours just sifting through not just the tweets, but reading that 13-page report and trying to get caught up on what everybody was saying. Caught me by surprise that it happened today.
I was surprised as well. I would have expected, and I think I said this to Jong on the way out the door yesterday. I said, we're not going to hear anything about the Baylor report until Friday at 5 o'clock, maybe 4:45, because that's what Baylor's been doing with this.
It's what most people do. It's not just them. If you want to hide something, that's when you do it.
Yeah, try to bury it and hope that people cool down over the weekend. And That's harder to do with the social media age of the news cycle never really sleeping. But they did it today early in the day, which was a bit of a surprise to me. But it seems like they are taking steps in the right direction. You know, I still think that there's things that if Ken Starr being moved to a different job, particularly one that's like in charge of fundraising now and it has some religious title. I
he's going to teach at the law school?
How's that going on?
That's very strange to me.
Ken Starr will no longer serve in the role of president effective May 31st. Starr remains the Luis L. Morrison Chair of Constitutional Law in Baylor's Law School and has agreed to serve as chancellor on terms that are still being discussed.
Did he miss that class in law school about rape being bad?
I don't think he was there that day. Ian McCall has been sanctioned and placed on probation. That's the athletic director, of course. He will work with university leadership and the Board of Regents to implement the recommendations as they relate to the restoration of a tone of accountability within the football program, to effective oversight and controls of the athletics department, and to critically needed changes that will realign the athletics program with the university mission. So he's just he's on probation for now. But Art Briles, effective immediately, has been what they've suspended him indefinitely with intent to terminate. You know, they've got a contract that they've
which got basically means they've got to come to terms on a buyout.
Right,
is what it amounts to. And I will be surprised if this guy ever coaches again. If Jim Tressel can't get a job in college football for covering up tattoos,
right,
and things like that, then
honestly, he shouldn't get another job.
No,
At least not another head coaching job. And if somebody eventually ever wants to give him a chance, okay. But honestly, this guy is lucky if he doesn't go to prison for what he did.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of criminal lawyers today to see exactly what he would be culpable for, and there's some varying opinions. So I don't really have good information on what it would be. As of now, there's not a whole lot there. But the reality is, and there's so much to get to on this, and there's so much I want to get to on this, but I'll give Baylor some credit for several things here. The guy brought in millions of dollars to the university, and they did the right thing by getting rid of him now. And even if it was late, even if a lot of things, maybe this cover-up goes higher than this, and maybe they knew about this sooner. And if they did, shame on them. But doing the right thing, even if it's late, is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for that. I'm going to give them credit for releasing that report, because that's a damning report. There's several things in there, including where they actually retaliated against one of these victims, which is, to me, the worst thing in there. And it's only the 13-page summary. I don't know if we'll see the rest of it, but I was very skeptical that we would see any of this, that they would just say, oh, well, we've investigated and this is what we have. But I think that at least they're sending a message that we're not going to tolerate this win at all costs. This cost is too high. So I'm going to give them credit for that. But what will really be, and I also think this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's other people that are going to go. There's other stories that are going to come out. And I think this is a lot worse than even we know, even from just this one report. And I don't think it's unfair to speculate that.
Yeah.
But the real question is, what do they do from here? And if you continue to, if you're going to bring in somebody who's going to flaunt the rules, and hey, man, there's questions about both your basketball coaches, by the way. Those aren't exactly the most up and up people. Maybe you need to take a step back and look at your entire university and what it stands for and how you're going to handle athletics moving forward. And I think that's what I'll be curious about is, and I'll give them a lot of credit for what they did today, but I want to see what they do going forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously this is the start. Today is the start of what's, there's got to be a lot that happens. So, I don't know. I don't want to say all Baylor fan, because I've actually talked to some really rational Baylor people the course of this.
I will say 80% of the Baylor fans that I've talked to have been extremely rational about this. It's the same with any fan base, man. You've got about 80% that are realistic and rational. You got about 10% that are the vacillate between that and being stupid, and then you got 10% that are just stupid, and that's every fan base. And when something like this happens, the 10% gets really loud, and we've seen that. But sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's just that there's still some people who are just irrational about this whole thing. And
irrational how? I mean, just out of curiosity, because
I'll read you a post or a screenshot of a post that was sent to me just a few minutes before the show started from a lady named Natalie Ward. This has all been handled poorly. As a parent of a current female Baylor student and the wife of a former Baylor football player, I fail to see how any of this is Art Briles' fault. My husband and I have been season ticket holders for 20 years through Baylor football being terrible, bad, and then even worse. The Board of Regents has totally caved to the evil empire's UT, in parentheses, media power play. Sam Wachiku didn't suit up for a single game. Oakman was no longer a current Baylor student. UT is laughing their butt off and waiting in the wings to hire the very best college football coach in the Big 12. Which, let me assure you, Texas will never hire Art Briles.
Well, they could have hired him, and they didn't. That ought to tell you something.
They won't be now under any circumstance. I feel so sorry for Coach Briles and President Starr. And mind you, this is coming from a woman. A person with a vagina is saying this. I feel so sorry for Coach Briles and President Starr, people who we now know covered up sexual assaults. She feels sorry for them. Problems with rape and sexual assault are much, capital much, more widespread at UT, A&M, and other large universities. Baylor is being targeted and the board caved. I'm disgusted. Jameis Winston from Florida State was charged with rape. He won the Heisman Trophy and was a first-round draft pick in the NFL. Baylor University needs to let students, parents, and financial supporters know exactly what the hell Coach Briles did. The radio silence is only making things worse.
Well, I don't know. She must not have read that report.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no silence anymore. They've basically come out and said everything that they did wrong, and they are taking responsibility for it.
And that I respect. And I honestly, I can understand people. I know that, you know, especially when you've seen where that program was, which was just garbage, and where he took it to, and how it made you guys relevant. I get that you don't want that. You don't want that to end. You really don't. And especially if your husband played for the football team, and some of the tweets that his current players tweeted out today, those guys really need to stay off of Twitter, especially Sean Oakman. But I get that nobody wanted to believe this, but the truth is, this isn't a conspiracy. It never was a conspiracy. And UT doesn't have that kind of power with the media. I hate to break it to you. So let's focus on what it was. This guy covered stuff up, and in one case retaliated against somebody. He brought it on himself. And you know what? They're doing the right thing now. But I want to see what they do going forward, because if the whole thing is, well, we're going to go throw $10 million at another coach with questionable character, what have you learned? Yeah. And at Baylor, and for the 80% of reasonable Baylor fans, I think they also understand how important this is going forward, because we heard all the same stuff after the murder, after the whole Dave Bliss thing. It's like, oh, we're going to fix this. We're going to do the right thing. And then what happens? You've now got two of the three worst scandals in college football history. Maybe you need to look at the bigger picture.
Well, we're going to continue conversation on this, obviously, including give you some of the key findings that the Pepper Hamilton report came out with. So this is obviously a big topic. I don't know if we'll do this all day, but there's definitely going to be a lot of conversation about it over the course of the show. I know some of you are probably saying, oh, can you guys get to the dick jokes already? And we'll try and work some in, but
yeah, well, that goes without saying that'll happen at some point. We're going to talk to Brett McMurphy from ESPN.
I always forget I'm not allowed to say that word, John.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You can call me a dick, but you can't.
Well, okay. No, if he's making a joke about you,
yeah, okay.
Theoretically, it's okay, right?
John Dick Lee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Senor Richard. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Brett McMurphy from ESPN is going to join us next, and then after that, we'll get to your phone calls. I promise. I know a lot of you guys want to weigh in on this. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And more breaking news today. It looks like the Rockets are going to hire Mike D'Antoni, but we'll get back to that in a minute.
Smart to bury that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good day for them to bury that. Because right now we're going to talk with Brett McMurphy, ESPN College Football Insider. And Brett, this is obviously a story that has a lot of levels to it. What was your initial reaction when you first found out that Coach Briles had been let go today?
Well, certainly I figured that Baylor must have, a smoking gun, you know, or definitely solid evidence to get rid of somebody like Briles, especially what he's done on the field for the program. I mean, 105 years before Briles got there, Baylor only had one 10-win season. In his 8 years at Baylor, they've had four 10-win seasons. Almost made the inaugural college football playoff 2 years ago. Among the short list of favorites to get to the college football playoff this year. So certainly, to get rid of somebody like Art Briles and what he's done, again, on the field for that university, told me that there had to be some damning evidence. And if you have a chance to look at the Pepper Hamilton report, or at least the snippets of what they released, it is surely justified.
Yeah, I went through the 13 pages, and there's some jarring stuff in there. But from what I understand, there's a lot more to it that they haven't released. Do you expect us to get access to the rest of it as well?
That's a great question. You know, Baylor's a private university, so they're not required to release this information. If it was a public university, you would be able to get your hands on that at some point. So I think, you know, the best thing Baylor could do is put the whole thing out there. You know, I would hope we wouldn't find, you know, any worse instances of what went on than what they've already released, but you never know. But I think, you know, Baylor's got to make some huge changes going forward. And I think something in the right step would be releasing the entire report.
You know, this Baylor football program in the last 20 years has six winning seasons, and they happen to be the last six seasons that they've played. How much thought do you think really went into the success of the football program going forward if they fire Art Briles? Like, because they didn't have to release this information, really. They could have, like you said, they're a private university. They could have slept on all of this stuff. How much do you think that went into, how much discussion was there about what the program's been under Briles and what it will be without him?
Well, certainly I think this was a last resort for Baylor. I don't think anybody involved with the Baylor program, again, based on what he's accomplished on the field, wanted to get rid of Briles. I mean, they've opened a $266 million state-of-the-art stadium, you know, 2 years ago right there on the river. You know, basically the small private school from Waco, you know, was outperforming the bell cows of the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas recently. So, yeah, they'd had unprecedented success with Art Briles. But, you know, again, you look at what the Pepper Hamilton findings revealed, and, you know, and again, I think the one thing that is unfair about Art Briles is that it's if people perceive him as the fall guy, because when you look at the report, it's obvious this was not a one-man operation. There were a number of people involved. Baylor's Board of Regents chairman would not reveal how many individuals were fired. Obviously, Briles is the biggest name. I'm really surprised that Ian McCall, the athletic director, was not fired, although that may be more of a technical issue. You know, again, they're private schools, so we can't see their contracts, but that may simply be because in his contract, he has to be suspended first or notified of a termination before they can terminate him, because when they actually announced the official word on Briles, they said he had been suspended with intent to terminate. So that's just legal mumbo-jumbo until they can officially fire him.
Do you think this is the end of it in terms of what Baylor's going to do, or is it going to be something like that where some other dominoes are going to fall down the road simply because we don't know contract terms and things like that?
Well, I think the only reason that the entire coaching staff wasn't fired was because you've got a game 100 days away. If this would have happened in January or February, I would fairly confident, I would hope that Baylor would have wiped the slate clean. Again, because this was not just one person on the staff involved with this. So this was, you know, I would be hard-pressed to believe that not everyone on the staff was aware of these instances that happened. There was a report that from the Pepper Hamilton report that in one instance, an individual that reported a sexual assault was actually retaliated against. It's just mind-boggling how they would get to that. The only reason that they didn't wipe the slate clean is basically you'd be giving Baylor the death penalty. You know, I don't know how they would have played this season if they got rid of their entire coaching staff. There's no other coaching staff that would be qualified that would come on and take over, and plus you would never have worked with these individuals. And certainly by doing that, you know, and comparing it to a death penalty with all the TV contracts, with all the game contracts, it would have cost the school, you know, an additional millions and millions of dollars to do that. So I think basically this was their only way out, that they saw it would be get rid of Briles to show that they're making a change, keep the rest of the staff, and then, you know, after the 2016 season, wipe the slate clean, have a new AD come on board, hire a new coach, and try to rebound and you know, get this program going back in the right direction.
So you assume by them naming Phil Bennett the interim head coach, this is strictly an interim thing where they're going to look for a new coach to bring in an entire new staff after this season?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there's only reports that he's been the interim coach. I saw on Twitter that somebody had actually tried to talk to him in Waco today and he wouldn't comment. So Baylor has not officially announced him as interim coach. But yeah, they got to have somebody on staff if they're going to play this year to basically take over. So if you wipe the slate clean, you know, you've got nobody there, you know, to coach. And, you know, again, financially, Baylor could not afford to cancel this season 100 days out. You know, there's so many factors involved with that. How much would they owe the Big 12 Conference for not fulfilling their TV commitments? They'd have to pay the game contracts for their non-conference games for canceling at such a late day. I mean, there's a number of factors that would come into play. And somebody asked me, well, how's Kendall Briles still on staff? Well, I think the reason he is because if you get rid of Art Briles and Kendall Briles because Kendall's related to Art, then you're kind of singling out that Kendall's the only one that knew what was going on. And I don't think that's accurate. I find it hard to believe that not everyone on that staff had some knowledge of some of this. And I think it's just because of when this came out is the only reason that they're still employed.
That's Brett McMurphy, ESPN College Football Insider. Brett, we really appreciate the time. I know you're obviously very busy today. Very good stuff, man. Hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Brett McMurphy. The one thing we had to get him out at a certain time there. The one thing I kind of wanted to ask, though, is and maybe it's too soon for this, but when you look at Ohio State with what happened with Tressel, they put their defensive coordinator in there for a year, then went after a real coach. They were able to recover because they're Ohio State.
Penn State did the same thing.
Penn State did the same thing
because they were Penn State.
Do you think that's going to happen here?
I mean, I think there's somebody who's going to take the job.
How attractive is the job going to be?
This is not a great job.
And it's so silly seeing some of the things that people are reporting, the names they're throwing out there. They're not guys who would take that job under any circumstances. I don't get it. But especially considering that there's probably NCAA sanctions coming as well. Probably significant ones.
I would assume there. I would assume the sanctions at least equal what happened to Penn State.
Yeah, I actually saw somebody tweet out that Baylor will target Dan Mullen and Tom Herman, and you've got to be kidding me. You wouldn't get those coaches anyway. You hit the jackpot, and that's what is going to make this difficult. 713-780-ESPN. Let's squeeze in a couple calls before we get to the break. We'll start with Andrew. What is up, Andrew?
How's it going, gentlemen? You hit on one point that I was going to bring up, is that the NCAA, once they do their investigation, they're going to be sanctioned, bowl bans, things like that. But I think this is part of the system, and this is what happens when you have 4 or 5-star athletes in your program. You know, they've been cuddled since middle school, high school, and no one can tell them no. No one's ever told them no about anything, or they've never been held accountable for their actions. So when they get to a college campus and a young lady tells them no, they're not accepting that no for an answer. And they believe that their actions, sexual assault and otherwise, and womanizing and degrading women, will be swept under the rug, just as it has been throughout their lives up to that point.
That's why it's almost, to me, the players, what their action is almost less vile than the action of these guys who covered it up. You know, these guys like, and Kenneth Starr is apparently, you know, standing strong that he knew nothing about most of this stuff, which I still think is a complete lie. And if you read the report, it seems like a complete lie. But these guys who, you know, the player, there's probably players on every football team or almost every football program in the country has probably had a player accused of sexual assault at some point. I mean, he's right. A lot of these athletes are not used to being told no, but when it becomes an issue like this is when it's reported and then hidden away, basically, like the rapists are being protected. That's even, to me, that's almost worse than the actual rape.
I agree. And but to his point, you know, we'll do this when we come back, because I don't doubt that this has happened. It happens on every campus in America. It's happened in other football programs. And I think one issue here was that they pointed out specifically was taking on transfers, and they need to do a better job of vetting the kind of kids they took.
And we talked about this with the Boise State thing, and they pretended Boise came out and said, hey, we told them. And yeah. Who do you believe
and
now?
I took a lot of crap for that and questioning Browell's character, because I knew somebody that worked at Boise at the time who told me and very specifically said, that they had let them know everything and they advised that they not take the kid, and they ignored him. So, anyway, I wonder who was right about that. But I think this goes deeper than just the victims of this thing, and we're going to have to talk about Mike D'Antoni, too. I'm going to say the same thing I said last week when that name came up. I hate this hire. I hate hiring a guy who knows nothing about defense for a team that doesn't play defense. And he hasn't been that good anyway. So this, again, just smacks of the Rockets having absolutely no plan. We'll get to all that. We'll get to your phone calls when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Texter says, Boise AD actually came out and said they didn't make Baylor aware. Peterson was the one lying to protect himself. So Peterson, you were wrong on that one, Fred. No, they said that because to protect themselves from liability. I talked to somebody who actually had spoken with Art Briles and specifically told him about him. So, yeah, I wasn't wrong. Just like I wasn't wrong about my report yesterday, because they admitted that they were talking to the NCAA. So one thing that I want to I think is going to get lost in this, and then we'll get to your phone calls, because I know a bunch of you guys want to weigh in on this. We'll get to the Rockets coach, too. We got all afternoon to talk about how much this hire sucks. But it's not just the victims here that were treated poorly. It's the kids they brought into this program, especially if you knew that they were kids with risks, that allowing this culture probably even drew some other kids into it. Oh, coach will cover it up. You know that happens.
Yeah.
You know that happens. Coach will cover it up. If you mess up, coach will cover it up. Don't worry about it. That's doing a disservice to kids who might not have ever done anything. And the other thing about it that kind of drives me nuts, if you're going to take in a guy like Sean Oakman, and you know he had issues there. And, yeah, as a head coach, you can't spend all the time with one kid like that. But if you're going to bring somebody in like that, do you not make sure that you get counseling for that kid, that he's getting a second chance? I'm okay with people getting second chances. But
it's a no-strike policy.
Right, it's a no-strike policy. But don't you – I mean, when you bring him in for that, and it's a no-strike policy, but shouldn't they be getting counseling? Shouldn't they be getting – you know, constantly being checked on by their assistant coaches. Yeah. How's your personal life going?
If you bring in a risk player, you've got to monitor him as such.
Yeah, trying to help him as much as you are yourself with his football playing. You're trying to help this kid turn his life around.
If you hire a convicted felon and you say, you know what, I'm going to help this guy get back on his feet. Let's say he was convicted of, here's a good one. He's convicted of embezzlement.
Okay.
He serves his time, and you say, you know what?
And I need an accountant for my business.
I run this company. I'm going to give this guy a chance and see if the system really helped him out. You still, if you hire that guy, you have to be way more conscious about what he's doing than somebody with no criminal record. You have to be way more aware, because if it turns out that he's still a criminal, you look like an idiot for even taking a chance.
Well, because he's going to take your money.
Yeah.
But not only that, I would make sure that, yeah, I'm not only monitoring him, but I got somebody working with him. And that whether it's his probation officer or whomever it is, and I'd be okay with that. And people deserve a second chance. But you also know that somebody that's been in that situation, you have to put more effort into it. You can't just bring him in and say, all right, come play football. Go do what you want. And maybe they did that, but I sure don't get the sense that they did. So, I mean, I think he let down a lot of people, not just the victims of this, but his own players. And for all those guys who were tweeting about Coach Briles, all his players who were all upset, you know, you might want to think about that. Maybe the dude was not doing and I'm not going to blame Briles for this entirely, because football coaches aren't supposed to be smart. I mean, they're supposed to be good at football, and that's what he is. They're not supposed to be counselors. They're not supposed to understand how to deal with a situation like that. That's why you have processes and other people in the college who do it. That's why you don't cover it up and try to do it yourself. Phone call. How about Chris? What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Sports. Appreciate the appreciate you guys letting me weigh in here. I just wanted to point out, I'm a Baylor grad myself, and graduated in 06, and so I was there for the Guy Morris era and whatnot. And Bryles did bring a lot to the program and whatnot. But just a note here, you know, Bryles, McCall, Kenneth Starr, none of those guys, not one of them, they're a part of the Baylor family. These guys, they were all brought in by the Baylor family, but they don't represent our university and the morals we stand for. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow right now for maybe some people, but we're moving forward, and no one is bigger than the brand and the institution because of the morals and values out there. I just want to put that out there that we will always stand for the truth, and we're going to continue to do whatever we need to that is right. And I have full faith that the school moving forward is going to make those right decisions.
Chris, I think in a way, I think you're right, but like we were talking about with our guest, I think there was some serious conversation about which way to go with this, because now, while I do think Baylor has, they say they have a Christian mission, I do think at some point they're saying, think about how much more money Baylor is bringing in now than they were when that guy was going to school, when Chris was going to school. I mean, it's ridiculous, the change. Think about the stadium that they just tore down, which was a glorified high school stadium. If you've ever been inside Floyd Casey Stadium,
yeah, it was a wreck.
Compared to, there are literally high school stadiums in this city and in Dallas that are nicer than Floyd Casey
was. Yeah.
And consider the stadium that they just built on the back of Art Briles' accomplishments there. So there, I think there was serious consideration to, and there's no other explanation as to why it took so long for them to release this report. As to why, because anybody else gets this report, it's like, okay, well, you covered up rapes, you're fired. I think they gave serious consideration to the value of him for their, you know, to their university, and they weighed the positives against the negatives, and it seems like after much debate, the negatives won out. But I think it's close.
Well, and just the fact they're keeping these other guys so they can field a team next year, if that's the case, then I kind of take back what I said at the top. Maybe you're not doing the right thing. Yeah, maybe.
Well, because if that, in that 1 year, let's just say, for instance, and they said that the report showed no, you know, nothing on Phil Bennett to make them think that he was ever aware of any of this, which, I mean, you're the defensive coordinator. Your players are raping people. The coach knows. He's not talking to you about it at any point. Hard to believe, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt for now. Let's say sometime during this season, it comes out that, or a woman makes an accusation that, no, Phil Bennett definitely knew about my rape, because I 100% sure he knew because I told him. Then you're left with, you basically thought that you cleared all the bad out, and now you got another one here. I mean, this is one of those things where if there's a big rotten spot on the apple, you can't just eat the rest of the apple. You just throw the apple out. And I'm with you. I would have cleaned everybody out of there.
And I'm sure you could have found some guys that you could have used for a year that are out of work right now. Go get Mac Brown to come in for a year or somebody like that. I'm sure you could have found somebody. And, you know, the whole familiarity with the staff thing and being competitive. Okay, I don't know how competitive you're going to be anyway. And, I mean, Phil Bennett's been there since 2011. I mean, this isn't like a guy they hired last year. And all of that stuff only came out in the last 3 years. I mean, the stuff that they have in the report is only from the last 3 years. There's ESPN has things that may go back as far as 2009, maybe before that even. But he's been there since 2011, so it's really hard to think that he didn't know anything about it either. And that's a concern.
Can I read you some of the key findings for the people who haven't read the whole thing?
Yeah, please do.
These are just some of the highlighted. And again, Baylor still hasn't released the whole thing, which I was under the impression they were going to release everything today.
Yeah, and who knows if they're going to. But
which, maybe they just released the stuff that was vital, maybe.
And this is pretty damning, though, regardless.
Yeah, here's some of the highlights, lowlights. The university's student conduct processes were wholly inadequate to consistently provide a prompt and equitable response under Title IX. Baylor failed to consistently support complaints through the provision of interim measures, and in some cases, the university failed to take action to identify and eliminate a potential hostile environment, prevent its recurrence, or address its effects. Actions by university administrators directly discouraged some complaints from reporting or complainants from reporting or participating in student conduct processes, and in one instance, constituted retaliation against a complainant for reporting sexual assault. In layman's terms, Baylor administration basically said, if you know what's good for you, you won't go through the proper channels and report this. And the one girl that did, there was retaliation against. In addition to broader university failings, Pepper found specific failings within both the football program and athletics department leadership, including a failure to identify and respond to a pattern of sexual violence by a football player and to a report of dating violence. There are significant concerns about the tone and culture within Baylor's football program as it relates to accountability for all forms of student-athlete misconduct. Over the course of the review, Pepper investigated the university's response to reports of a sexual assault involving multiple football players. The football program and athletics department leadership failed to take appropriate action in response to these reports. Which, that none of that last part is a surprise. We kind of knew about that. But what this boils down to is this was widespread. And I think what's crazy and who's sort of getting away with this here is the Waco PD.
Yeah, exactly.
Which to me is as complicit as Art Briles or Ken Starr or anybody else in this, because they're in Baylor's pocket and they're covering up for players the same way these coaches are. And whoever's at the top of that organization should probably be worried about his job if things really come get any worse.
I'm going to predict this, and I may or may not be right or wrong about it, but I think things are going to get worse. I think this is the tip of the iceberg. And the fact that you're getting rid of Art Briles, you're hoping that you can cover up the rest of that iceberg before it totally explodes. But I got to think there's so much more to this. And as it comes out, it's going to look worse and worse, man. And there's a lot of people that are going to go down behind this. But how you can, if you're really just keeping that staff to be competitive, boy, you got all summer to go find somebody. Yeah. You can put together a good enough staff to go out and be competitive. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Mark Berman just tweeted out, NBA sources confirm new Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni is getting a four-year contract. The final year is a team option. That dude is not going to last more
than
a year.
Man, this can't be a Daryl Morey decision, because I was telling you earlier about Daryl Morey when basically after the end of the season he said that they were going to focus on strengthening themselves as a defensive basketball team.
And yeah, the head coach does not do it.
The head coach would mirror that goal. Ugh.
Yeah, I really don't know what else to say other than that when all the names that were out there came up, this is the one that I said excited me the least, that I thought it was the worst possible hire. No reason to change my mind now. Let's grab a couple more phone calls. John, you're on the Blitz. Go. John, go.
Sports to you guys. I'm sorry, AJ and Fred. Sports
to you.
Talking about Baylor. Pretty much got a nephew basically gonna drop him to the campus next week. If that was your son, man, he got full scholarship football and track. If that was one of you guys' son, would you continue to allow him to go, or would you tell him to explore other options?
My guess is that if your son has, or if your nephew, whoever it is, has a full athletic scholarship to Baylor football and track. There are plenty of other programs in the country that would be willing to offer him the same, and you would deal with way less of a headache than what you'll deal with at Baylor. And I don't know what I guess the NCAA hasn't made any kind of a ruling yet.
Well, and they probably won't for a while. I mean, it's going to take a while for them to investigate.
I mean, as far as like transfers and things like that, I would think it's going to be like Penn State, where you're allowed to transfer without penalty, and I think that's how it should be.
Yeah, I see. I don't think, but that didn't come down until the NCAA came down with the sanctions. Yeah. So I don't know that that's going to be the case. But if he's got other opportunities, I would know. If it were my son, it's a little unfair because I would probably not have let him go to Baylor in the first place for a variety of reasons. But after this, absolutely. If he had other options, there's a lot of good schools out there and a lot of good schools with a lot of coaches that aren't scumbags. And this is going to take a while for this university to overcome. So, but you know, now you're talking about sitting out a year, things like that. I mean, you have to weigh all that, but it's not a place I would send my kid. All right, let's try Don one more on this. What's up, Don?
Yeah, guys, sports. Yeah, sports guys. AJ, you hit on what my question was going to be. Baylor's inside the city limits of Waco. So where and two McLennan County juries convicted players. So the DA's office had to know there's a pattern there. So where is the DA and the Waco Police Department? What role did they play in this?
Yeah, I think eventually people will get to that. Right now, there's so much about Briles and Starr that everyone's in an uproar about that. But I think eventually people that matter, not people that are sitting here on a radio like me, people that matter will come forward and say, hey, we should look into what the Waco PD knows, because they were told of these things apparently the same way that Art Briles and Ken Starr were, which to me makes them just as complicit as everyone else. And it's probably going to be hard to narrow down what cops knew and what cops didn't. And there's dirty cops in every PD in the country, I'm sure. But somebody's got to be held accountable for that.
Yeah, and I would hope, man, I hope that, well, I think there's more out there. And I give them credit for, they've at least convicted a couple of guys. Well, they've convicted one, the other one's been charged. So at least that's happened. But man, if the police were involved in that too, I guess they almost have to be. 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's grab a quick Rockets call from Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, sports guys, appreciate you taking my call. Let me just touch on this Baylor thing real quick. I just scrolled through John McLean's timeline. I know I was supposed to be talking about the Rockets, but, you know, in my opinion, one of the things that enables these head coaches to act like they act and these programs to think they're bigger than the school or the law or whatever is, you go back and you read through this guy's timeline that's a national recognized columnist and a Baylor alum, and he's retweeting things like Art Briles is a brilliant tactician and Art Briles is going to get hired up in a second. You know, that's where this stems from. That's why these guys get this power. But I digress. You guys are very smart. You're going to hit this nail on the head for several days in a row. Mike D'Antoni, this Rockets hire, I don't know if this is Daryl Morey or Les Alexander or James Harden. I'm not sure who this is, but this is the most ridiculous hire that I thought that was out there. Same thing with the Will Fuller pick with the Texans. You have all these guys on the board, and this is what you get. I mean, this is what you're going to settle for. I just read a CBS Sports article from Matt Moore that talked about that this is a guy that invented the 7 seconds or less offense that the Spurs have emulated in the last couple of years. I've watched the Spurs for 20 years. I've never seen the Spurs shoot with 7 seconds or less in the shot clock. I'm not sure if this is to try to benefit James Harden or, you know, try to score more points or whatever, but you know, all you had to do was get a guy in here that was neutral, a Frank Vogel, just somebody that played a little bit of defense that got James Harden to do something, and it's almost like they grabbed the guy that's going to make James Harden be least accountable of all. I know you guys hate long phone calls, so you know I'm going to hang up and listen. I appreciate it, guys. I love what you do.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't think this is a Morey decision.
I don't either.
But I also think that it's his last stand. Yeah,
doesn't work, he's probably gone. Yeah. And you know, maybe he's lost the right to have that decision because he probably is a guy who extended McHale, unless Alexander said, hey, you know what, that didn't work out. The whole thing, and I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but what went south for the Rockets was firing that guy 11 games into the season. Because at that point...
I don't know that he would have saved them.
No, he wouldn't have saved them.
But if they fired him at the end of this season,
yes,
it'd look a lot worse. Or, I mean, it'd look a lot better than it did when they fired
him. Because it would look like at least, okay, you know what? We brought back the same group, didn't work out. Let's go a different direction. But when you panic that fast, then you were going to get exactly what you got last year. And, you know, at least if you're waiting till late in the season, you know, maybe you're in on one of these other guys that would have been a better hire. 409 asked, what will the Rockets fans use to argue D'Antoni was a great hire?
I don't think they are. I haven't seen.
Yeah, I want that phone call when we come back. If you really believe that, you're not just going to be doing it for.
I haven't seen anyone on Twitter or anything since it came out who has come forward and said, you know what, you guys are you're not giving D'Antoni the benefit of the doubt. I just don't think it's good.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Seven five.